Like that last song, the resurrected king is resurrecting me. I'm glad that was in present tense and not past tense, because the resurrected king, Jesus, is still resurrecting me. I am a living project all the time. And I'm thankful for that. I haven't got this sanctification thing worked out yet, but every day God's renewing me a little more. And just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I've got it all figured out. But Tuesday night ought to be a great night for you folks. I'm really praying for your block party. And Ann and I are planning on being here, in fact, and just to enjoy the festivities for you and help out if we can. So I hope that, I'm praying that becomes a real success. I think we have enough. I don't know your tradition here on Father's Day and Mother's Day. Do you have, you know, those special seasonal topical messages, do you? All right, doesn't matter. If I preach a Father's Day message, ladies, you won't be upset with me on that, will you? I hope you won't. Because the message actually applies to everybody. We take the Word of God and break it down. It applies to everybody, whether you're a dad or mom or grandma or grandpa or a young person anyway. And so this morning I do want to share a message. It's called Legacy. There's an old... Hey, let's pray before we start, okay? God, use me this morning, and I pray that you would just take my words and let them make sense in your hearers this morning. So give us ears to hear and hearts to be broken for you so that you can mend them, I pray. Help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There is an old, and I've got two grandchildren here with me today, by the way, to sort of mix in with all the other grandkids. We've been watching them for 3 or 4 days all together with our other grandson, and so we've been enjoying them, but boy, am I tired. 2 days later, these two little bundles of energy, but I love them anyway, but not really. I've got enough energy for you this morning. I always appreciate you folks inviting me out. I don't know how you keep inviting me back. I don't know, something clicks anyway, but I always appreciate coming back here and sharing at Fairhaven. There's an old song that goes like this. None of you will remember it. Maybe some of the old timers will, but there's an old song that says, what you gonna do when the well runs dry? And the retort to that is, I'm going to sit right down and have a good cry. And I tell you, there's been a lot of times in my ministry when I felt like that. You know, the well is dry. Where am I going to reach? And I guess I ask you this morning, moms and dads and just singles and young people, where do you go for your resource? Where do you find your resources when the well runs dry in your life? Well, I know there's the Bible tells us there's some good resources we can draw on when, man, we are just empty. I mean, my tank is gone. I don't have, Lord, help me. Where am I going? First of all, there's prayer, where the situation just forces us to get on our knees. And like our Pentecostal friends say, they say, well, you just got to pray through. And then also you can go to the Word of God. I go to the middle. I just go to the middle, which is the book of Psalms, and I just sort of stay right there. Because David had a lot of times when his well was dry, and he would just call upon the Lord. And I love the Psalms because even though David says, pours out his troubles to the Lord, and in the end he always comes around though. He says, but the Lord delivered me. But the Lord raised me up. But the Lord helped me through it. So I like David. He was so honest. He was in all kinds of trouble, but he always ended with saying, but God helped me through it. And some of us also reach to the Holy Spirit within. If you're a believer this morning in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit resides in you. And we go to the Spirit, and all we can do is have confidence is that He, as the book of Romans says, when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit untangles our confused mess and our troubled minds and presents our petitions to the Lord, and then they make sense to God. So where do you reach when the well runs dry? I want you to know that I reach to prayer, I reach to the Word of God, and the Spirit of God in me. But there's one more place that I reach, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. There are times in my life when I have to reach back to legacy, my heritage. As rough and crude as my parents were, and my mom and dad, both of them only had eighth grade educations. My father's dad died an alcoholic on the side of a railroad track. My grandmother, his mom, was married 7 times. And this is back in the 20s and 30s where, you know, that was sort of raised some eyebrows. My mom didn't know her parents at all. So my parents were just sort of rough and crude. But you know, the older I got, I realized, and especially now, how smart they were. Even though at the time, as a normal teenager, you know, my parents are so dumb. But now, yeah, I realize they weren't so dumb after all. They didn't have a book learning education or a high school education, but they had an education that was just common sense. So I want to say this morning and ask this morning, dads, are you investing in a legacy that someone else can draw on, or future dads, or dads here, or dads to be, or young people? And I wonder what would have happened in my first little church. It was in Blissfield, Michigan. We were a little tiny church, and we were surrounded by a sugar beet field, and our little church was surrounded by a cemetery, and it was just an older church. The only time I ever got to have a speaking engagement was when the Women's Missionary Society asked me to preach once a year, or once to share with them once a year. And there were times where it was just discouraging, you know, with our 20 or 30 people there. And what would have happened if I would have told God, "All right, God, that's it, I quit. Pack my bags and go selling insurance or be a truck driver." I wonder if it would have ever crossed my mind that God had called me to the ministry, not only to minister to that little flock there in Blissfield, Michigan, but also to build a legacy for two little girls and a little boy growing up in my home that God might use in the next generation. I wonder if it would have ever crossed my mind. Susanna Wesley. I got a picture of her here. Oh, got to point it up there. That's right. Some of you might remember or know Susanna Wesley, but she lived back in the 1800s. She had 19 children. Now, 9 of them died in infancy. 2 sets of twins died, and then she had some other children that died also. But two of the boys who lived were John Wesley and Charles Wesley. Now, that name might not mean anything to you unless you know something about the Methodist Church. Those boys founded the Methodist Church, and also many of our hymns. If you got a hymn book and pick up a hymn book, just turn to Charles or John Wesley. You're going to find a lot of the hymns in there. I can imagine Susanna Wesley having it up to here with all those kids, especially since history records that her husband really wasn't around to help at all. In fact, he had left for a period of time because he was fed up with the crew and with the living that he was going through. Can't you imagine just seeing Susanna Wesley packing her bags one night and throwing everything in and saying, "Lord, I didn't want an orphanage. I quit. I wanted a family." Aren't you glad Susanna Wesley didn't do that? Of course, we all know that God came to her one night and said, "Now, Susanna, just stick in there and hang in there, because 2 of those boys are going to turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ." She didn't know that at all. She had no idea who she was raising in that home of hers. But 2 of those boys did turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ, because she made sure to spend time every evening with one of her children. She'd take one aside and spend 2 hours teaching them the Word of God and telling them about Jesus. The next night it would be another boy or girl. And that's the heritage and the legacy of Susanna Wesley. Now, as we open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, there's a verse here you might have missed because you've been teaching your children the first three verses of this. It's called brainwashing them at an early age. How many of you taught your children these verses when they were little? Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live a long life on earth. Well, when we read that, we sort of stop right there and we say, period, selah, you know, shred the rest of the book. That's all we need. Keep reading. Verse 4 says, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, do we have enough guys here this morning to preach this sermon? I think we do. All right? That verse there, bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We need to face the fact today, guys, that you and I will build a legacy. The question is not whether or not we will build a legacy. We will build a legacy. Now the issue is, what kind of legacy are you going to build? And the word here shows both sides very clearly. We will either build a legacy where anger and distress is brought up alongside your children to destroy them, and baggage in their lives that they will bear and will be a burden for them for the rest of their lives, or you will build a legacy of a child in the atmosphere of God who learns to love, who learns to understand how to get along with parents, and understanding come under the authority of their parents is important, because that's how you come under the authority of God. If you can't come underneath the authority of God or your parents, how are you ever going to come under the authority of God? So that's the choice here. I don't know about you, but one of the most scariest things that I have ever faced in life is parenting. And parenting is tough today, I realize that. And the thing I feel guiltiest about in life is, guess what? Parenting. Absolutely. I have blown it so many times as a dad. But understand this. The thing to do after a message today is... Some of you are going to say, okay, I got to be a better dad, or I want to be a good dad, or I want to leave a good heritage. I want to leave a good legacy. I hope that happens, but it doesn't begin there, all right? There's a very important pattern in Ephesians chapters 5 and chapter 6 that Paul leaves us for building a godly legacy. And parenting is the third step. It's the last step in the pattern. Parenthood actually begins in Ephesians 5, one chapter earlier than this, and a few verses later. It begins with this in 17 through 20 of chapter 5. Paul says this, therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the first step in the pattern of legacy is not what kind of parent I am, it's what kind of person I am. Paul says here, don't be foolish, understand what God's will is. Then he says this, don't get drunk on wine, but be controlled by the Spirit. What's he saying there? He's saying here, look, if you're going to be controlled by something, if you're going to come under the influence of something, don't let it be something that will cause you to be foolish. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. If you're going to be filled with something, be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Because that leads to something other than a bunch of garbage in your life. That leads to what Paul says here. It says it will lead to speaking one another with psalms. You're going to be able to know the Word of God and have the right word to say at the right time to speak to somebody. hymns and songs, your heart is going to be filled with joy. And you're going to be able to sing with joy to God. And you're going to make music from your heart to the Lord. You're going to give thanks to God for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a better thing to be filled with than some alcohol that will make you a fool for a few hours. Paul says here, the first step in parenting is being a person of God. So, on occasion, when a church is looking for a new pastor, and maybe you've gone through this before and looking for a pastor, or a full-time pastor, or a pastor, somebody to fill the pulpit, you ask the candidate, and you usually ask the person who you're, you know, sitting down and talking to, you ask the questions, what are your plans? What do you plan to do in our church? But really, deep down, you know what everyone is really asking, but they're afraid to ask? They're asking the candidate, what kind of person are you? Who are you deep down? You're asking, can I really trust you with my spiritual life here and with the life of my church? That's important to know that what a person is before you ever figure out what kind of parent they are. And, you know, I guess most of you don't know me very well. Let's face it, even though you've heard me preach, you know, a number of times here, yeah, and none of you have really sat down with me and really figured out who is Bill Case. And I guess it's important for you to know that Ann and I have been married 45 years, coming up 45 years. And in those 45 years, I have never had an affair, never gone outside the boundaries of marriage. Now, I've never been kicked out of a church for abuse of anything or any kind. Been free from that. God's saved me from that. Temptation has been there. I'm not going to deny that. Now, if you say, well, have you had any bad thoughts? Probably I've committed adultery in my mind. Jesus said, if any man looks on a woman and lusts after her, he's already committed adultery. I'm probably guilty there. In fact, I am guilty there. I've probably lingered too long at pictures or looked at a woman too long in my mind. It's never led me in any way nor tempted me in any way to have a physical relationship outside of my marriage. But my wife is the only woman I've ever made love to. I'm thankful for that. I'm just being honest with you right now, sharing a little bit of what kind of person I am. I've never been told by a church, we want you to leave because you're no longer welcome here. Every church I've left has always been on good terms, been a good relationship. I've just always known it's time for the Lord to move on. So I just share that to know that integrity is important. For me to stand up here and talk to you about being a person, I need to be a person of God first and foremost. I'm not perfect. Man, I am a work in progress in Jesus Christ. But I do know this, that every day I become a little more like Jesus. My temper gets a little more shallow. It gets put down a little more. I get a little more patient. I get a little more loving with my wife. And I even do dishes now and help cook. I mean, that's really being sanctified in our home, man. So the issue of life, you see, personhood is the pressing first step in parenthood. The issue of life is not credentials. The issue of life is character. And are you and I, ladies and guys here, are you and I the kind of parents that have first and foremost granted full sway to the Spirit of God in my life? There's nothing covered, and we take our signals from one place, the Spirit of God. And in the pattern of legacy, personhood is the first and most vital issue. Now, you can't skip from personhood to parenthood because the text here doesn't go to parenthood after you're a spirit-controlled person. The very first application of your personhood, if you're a person of God, if you're letting the Lord lead you, the next step, according to verse 25, is, and we're going to go here now, The first step in the pattern of legacy is not what kind of parent I am, it's personhood. That's the first step, all right? I should have put that up earlier. The next step is partnership. It's the way I treat my spouse. Look what Paul says here. Husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And for those of us men who never got past the verse 22, I didn't put it up here, but verse 22 says, wives, submit to your husbands. Guys, for all of us who never got past that, there's a following text here that's just as important. It says, husbands, love your wives. And do you realize that the most crying needs of our children's hearts is how I'm treating my spouse, how I'm treating my wife? That their whole security is wrapped up in the partnership between mom and dad. One time our middle daughter, Mindy, she ran and jumped on Ann's lap and Ann said something like, Mindy, I love you more than anything in the world. And Mindy looked at her it was just from the Spirit of God, she looked at her and said, Mommy, do you love Daddy more than anything in the world? Because I want you to love Daddy more. That's what it in her little mind, she wanted to make sure that Mommy and Daddy loved each other. Well, how does that go? Well, Paul says in verse 25 that we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. See that in verse 25 there? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. How is that? How does that work? Well, let's use a few words there, okay? How did Jesus love when he was here? How about sacrifice? How about meeting her needs? How about sensitivity? How about unconditionally? And that means even when she rides through the window on a broomstick, you're committed to her. No matter when you see her there, you see, my love for my wife is not conditioned on what she does for me. It is an outgrowth of the Holy Spirit's life in me. When the Holy Spirit is in me, I'm going to love her as Christ loved the church. And because God knows how thick we men are, He gave us another example and says, now if you can't come to grips with that, then do it in this way. Love her the way you love yourself, the text says. Verse 28, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. Well, how do you love yourself? Now, some people might say, well, I don't love myself. Pastor Bill, I don't love myself. I have a terrible self-image. In fact, I've been undergoing counseling for months now for my terrible self-image. See how much you love yourself? I mean, if you didn't love yourself, you wouldn't care about counseling for yourself, right? You wouldn't go through months of counseling if you didn't love yourself. People love themselves. That's why they go to counseling for bad self-images. How do you love yourself? Well, I'll tell you how I love myself. Tenderly and eagerly. And when I have a need, man, I meet that need. I don't say, oh man, I've got this headache and it's just killing me. What a pain it is. But I don't worry about it. I'll take care of it one of these days. I don't have time right now. No, when I have a headache, man, I run to the medicine cabinet, I grab the Advil, and I take it. Because I have a need. How am I supposed to love my wife like myself? When she has a need, I'm going to meet that need right away. Just like I meet my own needs. Tenderly and eagerly. That's how we run the partnership, you see. We meet our wives' needs tenderly and eagerly, like we do for ourselves, guys. Come on. So, partnership comes before parenthood. So, but let's go to the next one then, okay? We started with personhood.
Who am I as a person? Integrity, filled with the Spirit. Then we went to partnership. What kind of partner am I to my spouse? What kind of dad or mom am I? And then being committed to those two, now I'm ready for the responsibility of parenthood. And we're ready for chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition or training and rules and the word of the Lord. I think the best way here to start is how not to bring up anger alongside your children if you're going to build a godly legacy. You know what? I have learned something as a pastor after all these years. My children probably don't remember one sermon I've ever preached. And they've sat in every service that I've preached a sermon. Nor do they care. They've never cared how big of a church I pastor. They've never asked, Dad, how many new members did you get this year? They've never asked that, nor did they ever care. They never cared about how many people I baptized or how many new converts we had that year. They didn't care about where I go or the business card I carry in my pocket. In fact, my children were not even impressed if I told them, I'm going to speak to 1,000 people. They said, sure, Dad. Hey, Dad, can you bring us home something? Do you know what impressed them the most as they grew up in a parsonage? Being with them. Sitting down on the floor and playing games with them. Watching a movie together. That's what they remember. Boy, I found out a few years ago that my kiddos were only impressed with one thing from me. My time and attention. I mean, period. That's it. You see, that's what they expect. That's what they wanted. They expected this tall walking hero in their life to be God's gift to them. And they were insatiably selfish for me. And they should be. They should be. They ought to be. I tell you what discouraged my children. My children got real discouraged when I was too busy for them. When I was too serious, when I got too bitter about things, when I'm too bothered. Man, dads and dads-to-be, that's what sets cancer-free in a legacy. Too busy, too busy. One day it dawned on me that when my children prayed, and I taught them to pray, dear Heavenly Father, and right then it was like the Holy Spirit speared me to the wall. We try to teach them to pray to God as who? Heavenly Father. And the only way their little minds could comprehend and understand the process of Father was in my life as a dad. You see, I'm the only father that they'd ever known. And I thought of how many times they came to me and needed a bike fixed or a doll's arm put back on, and I said to them those terrible words, not now, I'm too busy. Man, why? I was in Chicago for a pastor's conference once, and I decided to downtown Chicago at Moody, and I decided to take the subway downtown just to see the people, just to see where people were at, and somehow I got lost and I rode the subway for 2.5 hours. I didn't know where I was in Chicago. And it was about 11 o'clock at night, finally. I got a subway coming back and I got on. And there in the subway, standing up, virtually empty, a few people, was a little boy, probably 10 or 11 years old, with a milk carton hanging around his neck. And his fingers were all burned off. And he didn't have any hair, and his face was all disfigured because he had been in a fire. And he had a sign that says he was begging for money so he could have a surgery. And it just crushed me. It just crushed my heart. And I got home that, because I had been too busy, and I knew I wasn't spending time with my kids. And I got home and I ran to my son that
my little son, that next day I said, "Danny, let's go out and play baseball together." And you know what he said? "Well, I'm sort of busy right now, Dad." God used that in my life to tell me, spend time with your children. Busy. Now all these years, finally I understand. My people in my church didn't really need me, but my children did. So I'm enjoying my kiddos at this stage in lives because they're all grown up. You know what? No more chutes and ladders on the floor. Except now, you know what I did over the past weekend? I played Dungeons and Dragons on the floor with my grandkids. I can hardly get up anymore from the floor, but nah, it's still not over. I love it. You think of all the seasons of life that children go through, and you know what they really ask in each season of life they go through? You know what they really ask of us as parents? Climb into their world. That's all they want. Just climb into their world. "Ah, but you know, I'm too big for that. I'm too busy. I'm too adult. Chutes and ladders? Nah. On the living room rug? You've got to be kidding." Some of you are thinking maybe, "I don't know. I don't know if I have a legacy. I don't know if I can build a legacy." You do in heaven. You've got a legacy in heaven because your Father in heaven provides a legacy. You know what I love about my Father in heaven? He didn't stand up in heaven and say, "Now listen, look, I'm the great Almighty God. I'm the great Jehovah, the El Shaddai. Come up to my world. Come up and be as good and perfect as I am. And then I can invite you in. And you're not going to make it unless you come up to me." You know what my Father in heaven did? And your Father in heaven, if you're a believer this morning, He climbed right down into my world. He met me right where I am. Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Almighty God, the Creator, came down. He walked this planet. He got His feet dirty. He was hungry. He came down into your world, met you right where you were. As sinful as we are, as wrong as we were, as we were on the wrong path, heading to nowhere. And Jesus came down into our world and He said, "Come on, that's the wrong path. Come on, I'll show you the right path to the Heavenly Father." What a legacy He built. And He takes me by the hand and He walks me through my seasons of life, every stage of life, until He finally lifts me to His world forever. What a legacy. Listen, church, if God the Father is not too big for me, if He climbs into my world and meets me where I am, then should we not do that for our children? Take them by the hand and slowly play with them and walk with them through each season of life until they go on to their own world, until they're ready to go on with the legacy that you've left in them, and they become responsible, not just citizens of this United States, but citizens of a higher calling, citizens of God's kingdom. So, parents, we might as well stop worrying about how good our children are. Just start worrying about how good a parent we are. I mean, that's about all we can control anyway, isn't it? And Paul closes here by saying this. He says, "Rear your children in the training and admonition of the Lord." You know what that means? That simply means teach them to fear the Lord. Teach them to fear God. And then teach them also to read the Word of God, to know the Word. Those two things. Paul says, Ben, if you do those two things, you know what? You are leaving a legacy for your kiddos. God's never too busy. That's what I love about the Lord. He's never too busy for me. He's never too serious for you. He's never too big. He says, "I will let you come into my world and I'll come into your world." He hung on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them. My Lord is never too bothered. He understands me." Legacy.
Well, it starts with being the kind of person I am. That's the steps. Number one, what kind of person am I? Number two, poured into the kind of partner I am. And then thirdly, given as a gift as a parent to our children. Build a legacy. Wow. I hope I've left something for you this morning. Some of you, are grandparents and way past the era of children, but you've got grandchildren, and wow, what an opportunity we have to build them. Maybe you're going to be parents one of these days. One of these days you want to be a dad or a mom, or one of these days you want to be a godmother or a godfather. Maybe you're a single parent or a single person to a child. What an opportunity to build a legacy. I hope that's what happens today. Let's pray together as we close. God, it's so tough in this world. It tries to squeeze us into its mold, but you've given us every opportunity, God, to know you and to be conformed to your image, Jesus. Thank you for coming into our world and showing us how to be saved, and showing us the way to the Heavenly Father. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for the blood that you shed for us. Thank you that this day, right now, any one of us can call out to you and say, Jesus, I want you in my life. And you'll answer that by coming into their lives and forgiving their sins. And they can become a child of God. I pray that that would happen. Help the dads here today, God, to build a legacy. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Dismiss this in your love. Amen. I hope I haven't been too long. I know I've gone over a little bit. But then I got started a little late too. So, all right. Have a happy Father's Day. I'm going to enjoy this Father's Day. You know why? Because I get to watch two NASCAR races uninterrupted today. Man, I am ready for this day. God bless you. Have a great Tuesday evening when you have a block party too. I hope that works out. You're dismissed.